speaker in this conference, and everybody has just been right on. It's been in the Holy Ghost. It's been so good. Thank God for His Word. Praise God. Really, the next speaker really needs no introduction. He's probably the best known man in this part of the country. It's Brother Paul Price. Praise God. Forty-five years ago, right now, I was preaching my first revival. I was in the local church in Modesto. Brother Rhodey was my pastor, and I'd been asked to preach a revival. I wasn't going out into the evangelistic work. A pastor had asked my pastor if I could come and preach him a revival. He said yes. While I was in this revival, there was a fellowship meeting. By the way, my first revival lasted 4 weeks. That's a long time when you're just getting started preaching. And there was a fellowship meeting, and in those days, we didn't have meetings like this. And we had a lot of fellowship meetings, and there was a youth service from 6:30 to 7:30 at this fellowship meeting. And they asked me to preach it, and I preached it. When I got through preaching it, my pastor was there. It wasn't in our section, but he was there. He was going to be the main speaker for the fellowship meeting. And so after it was over, Brother Price, Brother Barney Roberts, I could just name a list of men that talked to Brother Rhodey and said, "Can that young man come and preach for us?" And so 45 years ago, right now, Brother Price asked me to preach him revival. I went there in January of 1960. And the first thing he asked me, he said, "That you've just preached one revival." I said, "How long did it last?" I said, 4 weeks. He said, "Well, I'm going to tell you something. We're going 5 weeks." And that's what we did. And it was in the Holy Ghost. And it was right. And that's when I got acquainted with Brother Paul Price. I have learned to love him more through the years. I've learned to love him more through the years. He is a spiritual-minded man. He is a Jesus man. He doesn't just love the doctrine and love the cause. He really loves Jesus Christ. He really does. And in the last 11 months, Brother Price has had 5 funerals in his family, people that's close to him. That's a lot in 11 months. He's really gone through a lot. But thank God he's here. He's still going on. Praise God. Many years ago, when I was in my late 20s, and I was walking through the darkest time of my life, I looked up one day. It's one of the darkest days of my life. And I stood in a courtroom. And I looked up, and there was this man. He's always been there. And I promised in my heart 45 years ago, as long as this man's life is right and his doctrine is right, I will never forsake him. And I have never been embarrassed of him or ashamed of him. My pastor died about 25 years ago, going on 30 years ago. Brother Price became my pastor. And I want him to know today that we stand with him. Praise God. And You know, we have what we have today in the West right here because of this man and his leadership. We really do. Now, all of you saints that I know I'm taking time this morning, but I mean to take time. You young folks need to know that this is not just a preacher. This is an elder among us. A real elder, a true elder. And all of you saints here, you have an elder in your life. It's your pastor. It's the man of God in your life. And that's the way it ought to be. Among preachers, there's certain men, not every man, but certain men, that just somehow in the spirit, they become a preacher's elder. And I want you younger men to know, and younger folks to know, and saints to know, that this is our elder. And when his voice was needed to be lifted up, he lifted his voice. He was right. I stand with him. I'm not embarrassed to stand here today and say, I am a friend of Paul Price, and he's right, and I stand with him. Praise God. Praise the Lord. He's a true man of God, a true elder. God bless him. God bless his family. And we love him so much, and we appreciate him so much. And I want to tell you young men something that's aspiring for the ministry. You better get an elder in your life, your pastor, a man of God. And then as you go on out into the ministry, your pastor will always be your pastor. And your elder. But you will find in the ministry there'll be other men that will come into your life. And I'm going to tell you, this man has been such a blessing to me. Has there ever been moments that he got me? Yes. When he has called me before, and he'll say, I want to talk to you about something. And when he says it this way, now I'm going to talk to you about something, and I want you to receive it. I know that he's going to correct me or give me advice. And I'm telling you, thank God, for 45 years I've listened to this man. Let's worship the Lord this morning, Brother Paul Price.
Let's praise him together. Thank you, Lord. We love you. Thank you, Jesus. You're my God. You're my helper. You're my redeemer. I love you. I worship you. There's no God like you, Jesus. You're my God, and I love you, Jesus. No rock like my rock. There's no peace like your peace. I thank you for your presence and your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I have mixed feelings and emotions of trying to preach. I didn't know it's going to be this way, because I didn't know what it was going to be like to go through so many deaths in my family, but something just happened in my head, in my thinking, my emotions, and I just felt like I couldn't handle that. And this is the first time I've even tried to step out for a larger crowd. It's a struggle that only you can go through, and only I have to go through. I can't take you with me. You can't be a part of it. But I know one that will never leave. There are some things about God that you will never explain and never know. Yes, I can agree with the speaker last night. There are some things you don't need to know. If you only know Him, that's enough.
It's enough. It's enough.
You have been good to pray for me, my family, and all that's involved. And I thank you for it. And I've loved the Western District. And I proved that many times when they didn't understand you on that Dix General Board. I let them know, I know what they're doing. They're all right. Just don't you worry. They'll be fine.
Yes.
The superintendent questioned me about these meetings you're having right now. He thought you was trying to develop a pullout. I said, no, they're okay. Now we got so many of them, we can't even have church. I believed in you. Yes, we got the mixture of all the UPC right here. I love every one of you. I don't agree with all of you. But I'm telling you, I wouldn't take nothing for our devotion and love for Jesus in such a way that we can get along with each other.
That's right, Elder.
We'll have to be in heaven when everything's this. Is going to be right. As long as they're a human being doing what we do, we're subject to correction and we're subject to our frailties and our shortcomings. And we'll have to work together with that. God's used to that. He's always had to work with failures. So don't feel bad. You're not his first one. He knows how to pick you up, set you around, and turn you about and say, look, if I forgive you, don't you look back and feel bad about this. Just get up and go on. Just move. I was having a little spot in my mind and my thinking, and I can't describe it. God gave me a peace that passes understanding. I didn't know it before. But I tell you, no matter what has happened, it's never brought me to despair or even question Him. I'll just say, God, you're a good God. It made me weak and I didn't understand it. At the funeral for my brother, who died suddenly, was very close to me. They wanted me to say something, and it was at a Lutheran church, a Lutheran funeral. I never felt anything of encouragement. It was just a different situation than we're used to. But as I came up from the audience to climb about two or three steps, I made it up all right, but I couldn't understand. My knees felt like they wanted to buckle. And I didn't understand it, what stress could do to me, because I never knew stress. I just went on. But as I went to go down the steps to leave, I looked down them steps and I said, I can't make that. Just three little steps. No, I can't. There's no banisters, no nothing. So I went back and sat down in the three sacred chairs that I didn't know they were so sacred. But the Lutherans say you don't sit in these chairs unless you got a robe on. Well, I got one, but you can't see it. So I sat down and they all laughed and I didn't know what they was laughing about. And finally I stood up and said, I'm 82 and I can't go down those steps. And I'm telling you, they laughed. It was an excitement to them to see those two robe people have to put up with me sitting there. Because they never saw it before. But this is my brother's funeral. I could never get over the fact that I can't do what I used to do. And right now I feel weak in my knees now. And if I buckle up and hang on to this pulpit here, just wait a while, it'll come back and I'll get up and do it again. You know, it's a strange thing about what God does in His church and in His work. I have not felt discouraged. I have felt at times a feeling of uselessness. I have thought more than once, I'm finished, let's quit. I don't mean being a Christian, but I'll just stay home and teach a class and be happy with that, because I don't have what it takes to get out and do this stuff. Because for one reason, I feel I'm on a different wavelength. I get the feeling you don't understand what I'm preaching about. When I preach about Jesus, I'm not preaching something to make you jump and have a good time. I'm trying to get Him in your heart, in your mind, in your soul. And so I feel like I'm trying to keep your attention. And I got to have something to entertain you for a little while so you feel good, and then I'll try to pop you again. But I'm here to tell you, until you know Him, you don't know how to get to heaven by yourself. We can't make it by ourselves. We're not able to make it by ourselves. We've got to have Jesus. And this has been a new experience. From the day my wife left this world, with my family around her, and this is what I couldn't figure out would ever be. We've often thought, what would it be if we lost her? And you can imagine all sorts of things. But friend, when I was holding her hand and helping her walk across Jordan and telling her the angels are going to be waiting for you, her hand was hot and warm. And when just a few moments she let out her last breath and that hand turned cold, my kids began to shout around the bed. I want you to know, death, you don't scare me. Death, you don't have no sting. There's no sting. God said He'll take the sting out of death. He'll give you praise and rejoicing because we know where we're going. We know where we're heading. I've said many times, God, she's having a good time. What about me? After all, she's with you, and you're with me. Help me to rejoice and have that touch that I want and I need that I felt was just slipped away. I reached for it, and I couldn't reach it. And people asked me to come. I said, I can't. I don't have it. God said I could have time out, and I've took it, and it's still time out. I'm preaching here, but I'm not promising nobody else. I can only tell you, I go by that. I'll let you know the day before if I'm going to be there, because I don't know how I'm going to feel either. But I'm not through. No. The other morning is about 2:30, I think, or 1:30. And don't worry about that. I don't get up early because I'm spiritual. I get up early because I can't sleep. I'd change it if I could. But anyway, I was awake. And I knew I couldn't go right back to sleep. And when you go to thinking, that's not good. when you're trying to figure out things that you don't need to know much of an answer for yourself. But I was in one of those low spots. But don't misunderstand me. It wasn't not like I had no hope, no future, none of that. It's just that you felt that terrible feeling of depression. And so when you get that, you start thinking negative. And I was thinking that way. I thought, well, maybe I'll read a while. Nah, my tape recorder was laying there. And I thought, well, I'll just turn it on. The tape's in there. I don't know who's preaching. I'll just turn it on, hear it. I got to listening to it. And whoever the preacher was screaming and preaching. And I thought, who in the world's that? I don't recognize his voice. I kept on listening to it. I mean, he was coming down the line. I thought to myself, I don't know who you are, but you're talking to me right now. You're talking to me. And it was Brother Booker. He's got a high C voice, and he'd get up in that high C voice, and what he was telling me, when you think you're washed up and you're washed out and you're about ready to quit, he said, Jesus said, I'm going to drill a new well inside of you. You're going to find a new depth that you've ever found, and you got to come out of it. I tell you what, brother, you was preaching to me. And I took it. I said, thank you, Jesus. You're telling me something. God doesn't help a pity party. I was like, in a sense, like Elijah. You build your own cave. You sit in your own cave. And God doesn't come back there and talk with you and live with you until he gets you out of your cave. But when you walk out of the cave, you'll hear his voice. He'll be talking to you and telling you what to do, where to go, and how to make it. But as long as you're going to stay in the cave, he'll let you stay there. He doesn't pet you. He doesn't console you. He doesn't agree with you. But he said, what are you doing here? And I thought to myself, God, you know what I'm doing. Nothing. Just sitting here thinking. And there's a lot of time you need to shut it off and get the Bible and get the Word of God and let his Word come through to you and make you see and to know that. Whenever those moments come to me, I get the scripture, and this word of God is the only thing that lifts me out above it, and I feel great. I feel wonderful. I feel the touch of God. It's altogether different. Now, I've gone too long with that. I just want to preach to you a little bit. What will it take to be the kind of Christian that can go through the last days? All right. What kind of Christian does it take to go through these last days? Now, we can all shout here, but when there's no dancing party with you, you're going to have to make up your mind. My emotion doesn't carry me very far, but my faith never fails. My faith strengthens my spirit, strengthens my mind, strengthens my soul. I won't need them. I ain't got the time to go through all of that. I'm just going to tell you what. I want him to read a lot of scriptures just to show you what the last days were. I'll just refer you to it because that's not my message. The last day is going to be perilous time, trying time, difficult times. The Bible said it's going to be like Noah, be like Sodom and Gomorrah. And they were unredeemable.
Yes.
I'm telling you, folks, not everybody is hungry to hear the message. If you can't take rebuff, if you can't take rejection, the world is not waiting for you.
All right.
Hungry hearts may be waiting, but the world is going to hell. They don't want to hear it. But I want you to get something. God uses every method trying to reach everybody in this world. But when the world got unredeemable, even God could not save it. Understand that. Don't feel bad if somebody closes the door to you. Because there are going to be people that will never listen to the Word of God. Now, I can't tell you who they are, neither can you. We'll have to go and knock on the door, reach out for the souls, and what have you. But what I'm trying to get across to you is that the early church, those back in Noah's day, they had to live by the Word of God. And they only had a little piece of the Word of God. That's enough to save you right there. Noah walked with God. In his day of walking with God, he and eight souls. If you think a revival is what you see in numbers that makes you feel like you was a success, God says, Noah, you was a real success. You saved your house. If I can save my home, that's something. If I can save my family, that's something. Don't get discouraged if you find those will come and go. But I'm trying to get across to you that knowing Jesus Christ can be sufficient to help you to live 120 years, preach the same message, the same gospel, the same truth, the same ark, no other way, no other plan. This is the only one. If you miss this one, you miss it all. We can't preach another gospel. There is none. And it bothers me when our leadership is trying to save the Trinity. We don't save the Trinity. We only get saved by the oneness. We look like little puppy dogs trying to get their favor, get their attention, and all the rest of that. All the time they're getting you. When you have more fellowship with Trinitarian, you do the Holy Ghost and the Word of God and one God people, you're more down that road than they are, and they're not coming. And if they did, they would dilute us. I don't know why they picked out just the Trinity. I heard them say, nobody's going to stop us. Nobody. We will reach the Trinity. And I said, God, you hear that. I'm telling you what, you may say that, buddy, but I'm promising you, he'll write your name on your tombstone and say, you did not know me well enough. I don't associate with Trinitarian. I'm talking about the doctrine. The person that does not understand it, that's in that doctrine, I'm telling you, you can't let them feel consoled that you have any right to claim that you can go to heaven according to the Word of God. A man in my church lost a 21-year-old son in a tragic accident, and he was unsaved, as far as the scriptures say. And when you die, everybody wants to go to heaven. It just seems like everybody feels like, because I die, I earned heaven. Well, I said to him, I want you to know, I can only preach what the Bible says you need to be saved. And he's a holy and a just God, and whatever he determines, I cannot interfere with what he will do. I'm just telling you, he told me to preach it this way, and that's the way I can only tell you. I cannot tell you, and I will not give you false hopes. I'm just telling you, that Bible is right. And you can't preach any other gospel, any other Jesus than that. Now get at the crux of what I want to say to you today. It's amazing when certain things come up to find out what people have that they call, I've got a conviction. I don't think we know what that means. They got a conviction about everything they have that they believe, and their belief is whatever they're justifying and whatever it is. This is a day you better find out, what do you believe? And then, why do I believe it? And then, what would it take for me to lose it? It's all up to you. You're the person. And I have been impressed by this word conviction for so long. And I kept wondering, what does it mean? How do I explain it? And I never could come to good answers. I read an article from I guess he was a doctor, a psychologist, or something of that nature, on an airline once. And Brother King was on there, and I gave it to him. And when I read that, it did something to my thinking. He said, we have never even considered the word conviction till you understand it. All of the great thinkers and philosophies have never considered it. Until the 60s, when these young people left good homes, plenty of money, and lived hippie life. And they'd march, and they didn't care if they embarrassed their families. They didn't care who saw them. And they were determined to press for their own ideas. And they said they couldn't understand how that transpired. How did they come to a place that they would sacrifice everything for some crazy idea? And they began to study it. And I found out there were some principles that they found that I can tell you, it fits any of us. Your belief is not your conviction. You believe what my preacher preaches. What's that? Go ask him. Do you know why you believe what you believe? I tell you what, it's amazing, even in our fellowship, how easy we are and gullible for anything that will attract people to it. We think that that's something that we could use. When did God consult the world for the best way to reach the world? You know what he did? He even kept John the Baptist from the ministry of that day. He said, that's bad company. I want you in the wilderness. And I'm here to tell you, when God has put something in you, and you have something in you that's going to be great, he doesn't want somebody to be able to talk it out of you. You don't even know what's in you. When God begins to pull it out of you to reveal what he is to you and what you can be to him, you're going to have to suffer some things at the hands of everybody around you. You'll be hated of all men for my name's sake. Not just a few. You'll never make them love you. They will hate you. While we're building beautiful buildings and beautiful homes and we have beautiful things and we're living in the luxury of all of these things, I'm here to tell you, friend, when the day comes you live like that old early Christians that didn't have the Holy Ghost even. They just lived by faith. They had caves and dens and what have you. You don't have to worry about what you're going to wear to church. You don't have to spend half the afternoon getting ready to go to church either. If we prayed as many hours of getting ready for church as we do for getting ready to look pretty, we'd be so spiritual. It's amazing how we have to primp and put up ourselves. And boys just as bad as girls. I mean, they fix the hair so much until after a while you wonder, son, get that sissy stuff out of your head. Yeah. We don't feel like we feel spiritual because we're in a good, lively service. A lot of folks around us and the Holy Ghost is in the service. We claim some of that too, but you don't know you've got it. And you certainly wouldn't fight for it. There are some areas that has to be understood, and I'm going to just read them to you. I don't have time to really go in it all together, but let me just give you part of it. Number one, you have to have a persuasion. You have to be persuaded that what you're believing is right and it doesn't change. You've got to be persuaded. When you're persuaded, it means that you have made up your mind to the extent that you will actually pay a price to believe what you believe. Get me Hebrews 11. Wait a minute. I'm slow anymore, so just be patient. Now, here are the steps, but let me just explain a few that this man come up with. He said, your belief has got to be stable over a period of time. How long have you been this way? 40 years? 50 years? You see, if you believe it, and it was truth here, how can you not believe it when it's truth there?
All right.
I've had preachers, pastors of our churches, they left us and said, I never did believe it. I'm saying to him, when were you lying? When you came in or when you was going out?
All right.
You told us you believed it. That's a belief, no conviction, and they have none in this church right now. It's a worldly church in the worst sense. If you don't have a conviction, you won't last.
You're right.
And then he said, conviction exists when you have a passion and an emotional commitment. It's so strong until they can't change you.
All right.
And I tell you what, when that general board changed, brought a new crew on, I can't explain myself. I got up and was talking on something else, and then all of a sudden I changed and went to something else, and I don't know why I did it, but I'm glad I did it. I said, I want you new ones coming on. Don't you change what we put in here in the articles of faith and our standards of living. If you do, I'm coming out of my corner. Well, they didn't believe me.
Yeah, they didn't believe you.
Now all Israel's talking about it.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, if you can sell your Jesus, I don't care who you are, if you can sell him and sell any part of him for any doctrine, that's not the pure doctrine. It's a false doctrine.
Amen.
It's a false doctrine. And when you try to make peace with a false doctrine, you have God on war. He hates it.
Yes, he does.
And if you love what he hates, you'll get what he hates.
Right.
I can't stand to think they took my Jesus and took him apart and made another Jesus.
Yeah.
Tachamarian was a deceiver. False teaching, false prophet.
You're right.
Yet we let him live among us, supported him, gave him all kinds of open doors. It's about time we close those doors and everybody else that believes that.
Come on. Amen. Amen. That's right, Elder.
I'm not going with you. Yes, and I'll talk about you. I'll preach against you. No position excludes you from the same gospel, same message, the word of God, than it does for me. Now, there's a weakness among us, and I picked it up. I had men call, said, Brother Price, I agree with you. That's right, but don't use my name.
Oh. Uh-oh.
Well, go to the table and stay there till we get through. I'm like Gideon. When we get through, we'll come back and take care of you. When you're a compromiser, you'll compromise with the flesh, the world, and the devil, and you'll have a little bit of that in the midst of the spiritual part. It's a mixed stew that you can't tell what it is.
Right. Right.
We're caught up with this idea having numbers.
You're right.
We'll make a league with the devil if he'll give us numbers. And when you sell your position, when you got a position, you got a place, an authority, and responsibility. That general board is responsible for letting some of those resolutions come on the floor.
All right.
I fought for not having advertising and television years ago. I thought we had it settled, but they let it come on the floor. I'm here to tell you, we don't want to bring back anything we threw out the door. Jesus is God, and He's all of God. There is no other God. There is no other way. He is the only way. He's the truth, and He's the life. Another step, he said, that you develop a certain arguments to defend what you believe. I sure did, friend. They said you shouldn't call names. Why not? How do you know who I'm talking about? When you sin before all, we can rebuke you before all. You're not excused from the same book that I believe in. Don't tell me you can go over and join arms with that and become part of it. I got the tape that he preached over there. We're all one. We're going to reach the world right here. No, you won't. You may reach your kind of world, but it won't be his world. Just because you have ability, talents, ability to organize and do all these things, let me tell you what. Don't ever get the idea you know how to do it and you got all the answers. You're going to find out that God's got things to do that you won't even know about, and he can take care of one little old boy and give him a chance to feed 5,000. He can take one little child of God someplace in a nowhere and make a real prince out of him, and you may think that he doesn't amount to anything. He comes from the wrong side of the track. He comes from the wooded area, but if he knows God, he's a majority. If you really know Jesus, you and Jesus is a majority in any situation.
Praise God.
One of the things that this man said, he said, if you have a conviction, you're worried about it, you're troubled with it, and it's on your mind a good deal. And you talk about it the same way. And when I'm talking to somebody about Jesus and I don't get no real, you know, real good connection, I can tell in a few minutes. They're looking for a way to get away. I said, I'll release you. You can go now. I'm not fooling with losers. I'm not fooling with half-hearted. I'm not fooling with play games with me. I want to know the real Jesus. I don't care about how much you've got, how big you've got, whatever you've got. If you can know him, buddy, I'm telling you, friend, young man, young woman, you can know him. And I'm looking for those kind. And I'll spend time with them. I'd rather talk to them than I had to talk to all of you. Because I feel like I get this thing inside of their heart. Nowadays, as pastors, you're suffering from overworking, busy. Everything is completely put in your laps. That we felt like we have to do all of that to maintain this. We have more staff meetings than we do anything else. We have more desire to find some trick of the trade that brings people to God. The best thing I know of, if you fall in love with Him, His nature will cause you to reach them. Then you won't know why they ever did come, but they felt the Spirit. Now, I'm taking the Bible route now to show you how this thing works. Hebrews 11:13.
These all died in faith.
Now, he just listed all of those in faith in the 11th chapter up to that point. They died in faith. Go ahead.
Not having received the promises.
They didn't receive what they were promised yet.
But having seen them,
they did see it
afar off.
Hold 1 second. When you see it afar off, it brings it right now. How many believe in the rapture?
Oh, yes. Yes, sir.
That's afar off. Did you ever imagine what it's going to feel like to move out of this world and climb up into the Milky Way and go past the Milky Way? Did you ever realize that you're going to be with Jesus forever and ever? Did you ever realize that there's no Jordan to cross? Death is no Jordan. Amen. How can you hurt a man that's willing to die? Now, please note, all of these had this in their life. Now go back and read it again, because I want you to catch all of this, just, and we'll come back up to this spot again.
These all died in faith.
They died in faith.
Not having received the promises.
They didn't receive the promises.
But having seen them afar off.
They saw them afar off. What did they do about it?
And were persuaded of them.
Now that's the secret right there. They were persuaded of them. Noah believed and worked for 120 years because he didn't change one bit. He said, it's going to rain.
Uh-huh.
He was persuaded.
Uh-huh.
Who persuaded him? God.
God persuaded him.
If you let God persuade you, you'll change.
Come on.
You have to have God do something to make you change. But I thought about that. There's a lot of things we don't get down here. We can't reach it. We don't know where it's at. And don't get discouraged. Don't try to feel around, blame everybody else for what you don't have. Listen, take what you got and rejoice in what you have until you get what you don't have. Because don't live in a land of indecision. I'm happy because I know the living God.
Amen.
I know the mighty God. If I never get healed, he's still a healer. If I never get what I look for in this world, he's still my God. He's my helper. He's my redeemer. He's a holy God. He's a righteous God. He's the only God. His name is Jesus. And I love him. 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 Now read the next step.
And embraced them.
I like that one. Embraced them. They embraced them. What do you do when you embrace your wife? I hug her and kiss her both. I'd do it again if she'd come back. I'm going to tell you this. I might as well do a little marriage seminar.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
You can be a good preacher, but not a very good husband. I heard some kids say, my dad goes to the church at 6 o'clock. We don't see him back to the house about 8 o'clock. And he's... Hey, wait a minute. Sir, you don't prove your love to me but not showing love for your family.
All right.
The family I gave to you to love, honor, cherish. Amen? You can be a good preacher and not really be a good brother. It's amazing what we justify when we feel we're good enough on that end. I'm going to go a little further because I think this is where we're missing it. When you love God, that love should make you love your wife and her love you.
That's right. Amen.
With tenderness and caring. You can't, and you must not look for another.
You're right.
That's the one you chose. Make him, and you make her, be the pride of your life, so to speak. You and her should live together with peace and joy.
Amen.
If I had time, I'd preach to you a little more. I don't have my wife. I don't like living by myself. And I don't need your help. No way. I tell you what, I've come to the place I wouldn't want to live with anybody else I didn't know and didn't have the same concerns that I've got and have the same convictions that I have. I'm not going to marry somebody and try to convert them. Forget it. I'm too old to fool with that. But loneliness is one of the hardest things for you to get over. Being by yourself is punishment. They put you in solitary confinement. That's for punishment. And when you use your relationship and make the other be punished with a cold shoulder, I'll teach him. Yeah, look what you've missed too.
You're right.
I got to get out of that. But this starts at home, friend. If you can't love at home, you can't love in the pulpit.
You're right.
You can't tell me how to love when you don't know how to love.
You're right.
You can't tell me what God's like to you if you don't know that God. You can't change this in any way and make it work. When you know the living God, you really know him, you'll love your family, your children in such a way they'll feel like you really do love them. Because we don't know how to love until he teaches us. Now, we embrace it. Now, what's the next one there?
And confessed.
Now, if you believe something, you're going to talk about it. You'll confess it. You share it. You tell it. That's why when I get in the car with a young man, I start sharing what I've got. He can't go nowhere. He's driving me back to the airport, and I just keep pouring it on him. He can act like he likes it or don't like it. I don't care. It's the last time I'll see him, maybe. I'll just let it go. But there's something in me to want to tell that young man, if you could ever know the living God like you should, if you could know him more than your church knows him, if you can know him more than UPC declares him, you can know him personally, you and God, and have a touch with him as a young person. You don't need to be old. It's harder to get these old heads changed. But you're young. If you get it in your heart, it'll grow on you. You keep confessing it and telling it and telling it and telling it. I can't help but think what Brother Wallen said. Brother Price said, get off of that Jesus stuff. Well, he did too. He got off of it all right. He's backslid today. I'm telling you what, there is no better subject than Jesus.
You're right.
The early church went preaching Jesus. They didn't preach sermons. They preached Jesus. They didn't preach about him. They preached what he did. What he is. Who he is. And all of that. What's the next one?
And confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth.
We're just strangers and pilgrims. Very few people understand us. What else?
Verse 14.
That's through 13.
Okay, read the next one there. What's the next one?
For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country.
Read on.
And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now,
all right,
they desire a better country.
Yes.
That is an heavenly.
I've changed countries, friend. I got my citizenship over there. When those live like that, they declare, this is not my home. I'm just a passing through. I got a mansion built in glory, and I tell you what, I'm not going to back up and lose that one. I got a deed on it. I want to get it. I'm after it. But the Bible said a little later on, he said, God was not ashamed to be called their God.
Right.
Is God ashamed to call you?
No, sir.
That you don't really know me? No, he said, I'm not ashamed to call them my children. Read it down. It's about this.
Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God.
Oh, that's got it. You got it.
For he hath prepared for them a city.
Skip down to verses 25. And I'm winding up on this.
Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt.
Please hear me. I've often wondered, what did Moses have inside of him? that could make him do that. He didn't have the Holy Ghost. He didn't have the Bible. He just had a word from God.
Mm-hmm.
And God proved and tested him so many ways. He got discouraged waiting for that son. He had an illegitimate son, and God didn't accept Ishmael. Sometimes people think that God talked to people every day in an audible voice. Just think for a minute. There was years between God's voice to Abraham before he heard it again. I don't know. They said Brother Booker knows. You know who? How many years it was?
21 and a half.
Okay. Now, when you heard his voice, it brought you to God. He gave you his written word to carry you through till you hear the spoken word. So he gets 21 years. Used to think they'd sit around, God, he's talking to me today. He's talking to me today. Somebody said, the Lord talked to me today and told me to wear a certain kind of coat because it's going to rain. God didn't talk to you about like that. He doesn't fool with that. He doesn't care anything about the rain getting on it. That's not the important thing. God wants you to know the true voice. You should get acquainted with the voice that comes from God. Abraham was willing to settle for a boy, and God said, no, nations are in you. Who among us knows what's inside of you if God can bring it out?
All right, all right.
Abraham would give it up now. God said, no, I got to pull that out of you. He said, nations are in you. Sometimes we're so easy to say we can't do anything and all of that. Now I understand what we're kind of talking about. But I'm telling you, when God has put something in you, he's got to draw it out. I've often wondered, why did he ask him to offer his son Isaac? Isaac, to offer his son, that's a heathen thing. I think this is what it was. He said, Abraham, they offer their sons to their gods. Would you offer me Isaac? He said, get the camels and get the horses ready. I'm ready to go. I'll do it. And then after he did it, he said, now I know. In other words, will you give God what they give to their gods?
All right.
Look at what they give to their gods. I feel like it's got to come on my soul like a ton of bricks. He's worthy of more. But he's not going to put you in a position like he did Abraham. You're not going to offer your son physically, but you must be able to pray. God will help you to raise that son to give him back to God. Amen. And I want that to happen.
Amen.
Read a little further now. I'll let it go.
For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward.
Now, Moses did not make a choice without having some reward that he saw attached to it. He saw it written in that he could get more with what God offered than what Egypt could offer. You got to look beyond now to find it.
Mm-hmm.
One more verse and let's go.
By faith he forsook Egypt.
Now this is what you have to understand. If you've got a conviction, you will forsake Egypt, the flesh, the world, the devil. There's one area that I'd like to emphasize it. I wish I had time to work on it, is this. You will never be developed in a crowd. You may get help, encouragement, but you're going to be developed alone. You and God. I can remember the morning when I kept going after him and telling him, God, I want you. I love you. I want to reach you. I'm hungry for you. I'm tired of everything that I've been doing. I don't mean I didn't enjoy doing what I did in a sense, but it was not a substitute for knowing him. I'm tired of camp meeting, tired of conference, tired of church. I'm tired of all of it, Lord. It doesn't satisfy me. It's you that I want. I've got to have you. I've got to have you. I didn't mean I didn't. These things were worthless. No, sir. I was just saying, I'm not living just for this kind of meeting. I'm living for him. I'm living because I know him. I love him. I'm reaching for him. He's my God. He's my Lord. He's my Redeemer. We walked out of the room at the conference when we had that affirmation thing. And a dear friend of mine, I loved him. I've preached his family's funerals and been with him for years. He said, Brother Price, I cannot sign it. I won't be a hypocrite. I said, okay, that's fine. That's your choice. But friendship don't count with this. I cannot go that route. I'm telling you, friend, if friendship can change you, then you don't have what I'm talking about.
Right.
No way. I have lived with people leaving. When I was converted, God spoke to me, either get in or get out, and that voice has kept me, I'm telling you, all these years. But I saw my friends, my relatives, all one by one backslide. It didn't shake me one iota. I had a pastor, Brother Earl Toole, and I loved him. He was solid. He had good knowledge, good wisdom, and I enjoyed his preaching. But my relatives felt like he preached too long. And I thought, well, when? Well, I'll tell you what. Their attitude was, 30 minutes is long enough for a good sermon. It's too long for a bad one. It is for carnal, earthbound, selfish individuals. If that's all you got that's going to be listening, you might as well stay home, because it didn't do you a bit of good. I lived with those people gossiping, tearing down the preacher. We have more friendly fire in the church than anywhere else. We kill each other. We find fault with each other. Young convert, the biggest battle you're going to fight is overcoming the church people that you're living with. Oh, that's not much advertisement, is it? No, but it's a fact. If you want me to prove it, I'll do it. I got plenty of proof to show you. When saints can't not fellowship with their heart, with one another, that's not Jesus.
That's not Jesus.
In our church, we got little cliques, and I try to break them up. Young people get with the young people they click with. Young marriage gets theirs. It's all over the house. There's some people have nobody. They don't even speak to them. I tell you what, we got a lot of changing to do in our church if we ever get revelation of Jesus Christ. If you can ever see Jesus, you'll change. And I pray God will help you to do that. Let's stand together right now. Father, I pray help our people right now. Let's open our hearts to him. Would you do it?
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's worship.